Okay, so today the agenda is to discuss the Ramban Shita. Let me spend a few moments framing our discussion. Just Zachariah, am I right that Noah is not coming today because it's Tuesday?
Yeah, he's not.
Okay. So let me spend a few minutes just summarizing where we're up to. I think there's a real problem here in just understanding what it means for a Shomer Sachar to be Chayiv for Geneva Vaveda. You know, I think the Torah just said, right? Torah sets out the different liability rules for the Shomrim. The Mishnayos state them pretty clearly. Shoel is chayav onsen, Shomer Chinam is chayav for Pshia, Shomer Sachar is chayav for Gneiva Aveda. It's just not clear what that means, right? What does it mean that he's chayav for Gneiva Aveda? Now, on one interpretation, you might say that it's a description of certain acts, certain states of affairs for which he's liable. So the point is, it doesn't matter how it was stolen. It doesn't matter if the shomer is at fault. He's just going to have to pay if something happens to the object through Gneiva Aveda. So like it would be like a strict liability rule. And the point here is that it's like the insurance policy paradigm, where it's not doesn't matter whether you're at fault. You're going to be held liable to replace the item. You have this chiyuv achrayus if certain events obtain. Gneiva Aveda being some of the right description of events to make you chayav. Does everybody agree that that's one viable interpretation of chiyuv shomer sachar for Gneiva Aveda? Yeah? Okay, any issues with that formulation?
But does that potentially just like move the goalposts slightly in terms of now the onus is on, now we have to def onus, not onus, like now we just have to define it, just like it becomes a definitional question of what is called Gneiva Aveda instead of a liability question of what exactly are you chayav for?
That's right. It's about the description of the event more than the kind of shmirah that you're expected to exercise, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily like it just moves our like you can still have at the end of the day the same nafkamina or the same maskana in terms of exactly what you're chayav for or not chayav for, like
Well,
just
I think there'll
like
be, I think one interesting nafkamina here is the case of the Rishita about a clear case of Gneiva Vaveda be'ones gamur. And the Ri wanted to say that you're chayiv for that, even though it's just as much an ones as Shvuya Shvuro Mesa. Right? His point was that it's not about how much of an ones it is, it's about what description it falls under. Does it fall under a description of Shvuya? In which case you're positive, or does it fall under a description of Geneva, in which case you're chayav? Does everybody remember that?
But like theoretically, even like if we took a slightly like adjust, like it could exist a shita that's like similar to the re, which is just puts like gets like defines the terms shvuya and geneva in such a way that like even theoretically like ones gamur could be defined like that case could be defined as shvuya or it could be defined as geneva vida. Like obviously, if it's literally just stolen, that's a normal example. But like when we get to like more like technical
Yes.
cases, just like which. What definition of the terms we want to use?
Exactly. You would litigate on whether the case falls under a description of Shvuya or under Gneva, right?
Well,
I mean, no,
put
not at
your
all.
mailboxes in your office.
That's like the example. I just muted Chua. Looks like he's getting busted for his office use. Chua, you got busted for your office use? That would happen? I don't know. Okay, so I think that's what's going on in the Re. The Re says, once the Torah is mechayiv you for Gneva, stam Gneva is krov l'ones, svara hu devachol inyan shetia Gneva yischayiv min gzeiras hakasa afilu b'ones gamor. What do you do about listing mezuyin? Isn't that Gneva b'ones? And Tosis's answer is no, that's shvuya dikra. Even though there's no ones, there's no difference in how unforeseeable or unpreventable one is compared to the other, the Gneva versus the Shvuya, but it's about the description of things, instances, states of affairs that the Shomer is chayav for. Okay, everybody good with this description, this analysis of at least one view of Gneva, Gneva Veda? Yeah? Okay. Now, there's another view of Gneva Veda, which says it's not about description of certain events, it's about a certain standard of Shmira that the Shomer has to exercise in order to prevent himself from liability. Okay, I think this is the exact opposite extreme of the Gneva Veda interpretation. This brings Gneva Veda much closer to a Pshia paradigm. The idea being, what's really important for a Shomer Sachar is that he exercise the proper standard of care. Whereas the standard for Shomer Chinam is simply the Pshia standard, the standard for a Shomer Sachar is a little more than that. Now, we saw Tosvos, who gave content to that little more, a little less. Anybody remember what was Tosvos' view? Tosvos and Bav Metzia Membez. I mean, Tosvos wasn't perfectly clear about this, but he did say, Tosvos said, if you do proper shmira as a shomer sachar, hemek bekarka kuf amos, demai havale sulamevad, im takfaso sheino choli, echi tachin sheshim geneva lo nimsa shete ones gamor. And again, ein svara klal shelo nimsa geneva ones sheyifter ba shomer sachar. Tosvos wanted to defend the view that for an ones gamor, a shomer sachar should be patur. There's no basis to hold him liable. And we saw in the Ramban's interpretation of Tosvos, at least in the version of Tosvos that he was quoting, this has to do with the Ni'ilas Delas Shmira Pchusa Shmira Melula. Tosvos defines the Shmira Pchusa of a Shomer Chinam as Na'al B'Delas Sheyichol Lamod B'fnei Ruach Mitzuya. We define the standard of Shmira Me'ula for a Shomer Sachar as Nal Bidela Sheyichol Lamod Afilu B'ruach Sheyina Mitzuya. Does everybody see that? That was the way the Ramban cited Tosvos. And that came, so you can see over here, blah, blah, blah. Alma, so Shmira Pchusa V'Shomer Chinam is Dela Sheyichol Lamod B'ruach Mitzuya. And the Shmura Me'ula Sheyichol Lamod B'chol Ruach. V'Afilu Nosei Schar Pater Ba. All right? And that Tosos derived from the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Mem Hei, which at least at face value seemed to say, quoted that Gemara. The Gemara at face value seemed to say that Natre Shmira Pchusa is sufficient to exempt the Shomer Chinam. And on most reads, Natre Shmira Me'ula would be sufficient to exempt a Shomer Sachar. And then you just plug in Shmira Pchusa being a standard of Na'al Bidela Sheikhol Lam Baruch Mitzuya, and Shmira Me'ula as Na'al Bidela Sheikhol Lam Bifnei Kol Ruach. Okay? Everybody good with that analysis? You get a nice summary of it in Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, Shitas HaTosvos, blah, blah, blah. Ve'ein bein shomer sachar l'shomer chinam ela b'nol b'fanav sheyachol lamod b'ruach mitzuya v'lo b'fnei kol ruach. That's the only nafkamina between a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar. So the chiddush of liability for Gneva Aveda is simply what? What's the chiddush of liability for Gneva Aveda on this view?
I mean that it's equivalent to Rosh Hashanah Mitzuya.
To bump you up to a standard of Shmira, of Shmira Me'ula.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so I think these are paradigms that are Kechok Mizrach Mimarav. The Riz paradigm in Bava Kamma about the act descriptions for which you're chayiv, for which you're liable, and the Tosfos Bava Metzia through the Ramban and Akiva Eiger, that it's the Chiddush of Gneva Aveda is just to bump you up to a higher level of Shmira, Shmira Me'ula, which is defined as, you know, Na'al Bifnei, Na'al Bidela Sheikhol Lamod Bifnei Ruach Sheina Mitzuya. Okay. That's where we're holding. Everybody good with this? It's kind of striking, by the way, just that, you know, these are such different interpretations of Gneva Veda. You know, just what does Gneva Veda mean? Does it mean certain act descriptions, or does Gneva Veda mean a standard of Shmir that you're held to? Now, you could see implicitly here, and let me go back to the Gemara on Tzadi Gimel. So there's this concern in the Rishonim that if you hold like Rabba, it's not clear how you would differentiate between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar. Okay, why is that? So Rabba said that the standard of Shmira for a Shomer Chinam is not Trei Kid and not Trei Inchi. Let me just go back to the Gemara. What's the difference between Rabba's standard of not Trei Kid and not Trei Inchi and the Shomer Chinam standard, which we saw in the Gemara on Mem Beis, which is Sheyishmor Kederech HaShomrim? It seems pretty uncontroversial from the Gemara Mem Beis. Sorry, I'm just going to pull it up here. Yeah, it seems pretty uncontroversial from the Gemara Mem Beis, especially if you have the Rifs Girsa, that at least for a Shomer Chinam, all you need to do is to be Shomer Kederech HaShomrim, and once you're Shomer Kederech HaShomrim, you're Pater. So if that's true, then what's the difference between the Shomer Chinam standard and the standard that we have from Rabba on Sadi Gimel of Natre Kedin Natre Inchi? Isn't that just the exact same standard of Shmira that you have that's required for a Shomer Chinam? Does anybody see the issue? Yeah? So the Rishonim are troubled by this. And it's a pretty serious problem, right? How is Rabba's Shomer Sachar any different from the Gemara's conception on Mem Beis of Shomer Chinam? Sounds like there is no category of Geneva Vaveda for which a Shomer is Chayev for, distinct from just being Poshea, right? By failing to be Nodek Kedinatri Inchi. So Rishonim raised this question. You'll see it's the Ritva and the Rashba.
Itamar?
Yeah, cool.
Wouldn't the obvious answer be that a Shomer Chinam for Rabba is variable, but a Shomer Sachar, is variable, but a Shomer Chinam is static?
I don't think, it doesn't sound from the Mishnah on Mem Beis that a Shomer Chinam is static.
You mean variable by like societal norms?
Yeah, isn't the idea that a Shomer Chinam would be, that would be Pshia, and a Shomer Sachar would be... Rabba's view of Natre Nati Inchi is about a Shomer Sachar, isn't it?
Right. But the Mishnah says that a Shomer Chinam is Pater if he's Nal Kirai, if he was Shomer.
Yeah, I understand that. Shomer. Yeah, I understand that. Natal Kirai. Okay.
This is not my question. I mean, the Rishonim are troubled by this, right?
No, I understand. Do you have the language of the Mishnah?
On Mem Beis?
What's the language of the Mishnah? What's the language of the Mishnah?
Shamar Kederech HaShomrim.
That's for
Shomer Chinam.
A Shomer.
And Rava's language for a Shomer Sachar is Natre Kedin Natre Inchi. So it sounds like the same thing. So the Ritva Gimel asks this question. Yeah. And he says, Rava potered the guy because he was Da'avad, Kivan Da'avad Kedav Dienchi's potter. V'yim Tomar, Ula Rava. If you hold that the Shomer Sachar standard is not Trei Kedin Natre, like a Chumra b'Shmira Shomer Sachar, Tfei Mishomer Chinam. V'ha Hechi Avshar. How could it be that they both are exempt with the same degree of Shmira? That's the Ritva's challenge. And I think it's implicitly what the Ramban is getting at. Okay, so then he gives this answer. The difference is, Yesh Lomar, D'chamir, the case where the Shomer Sachar is held to a higher standard, or the case where you see the difference is Hecha de ol vegani ve'inna de lo aili veganu inchi. In the case where the Shomer goes into town when it's irregular for people to go into town, right? Which would be considered a case of Pshia by the Gemara's lights. The ilu Shomer Chinam Pator Kishenol Bifonea Kiroi. The Shomer Sachar Chayiv, Af Al Pi Shehekifua Choma Shel Barzel. Okay. Very cryptic line in the Ritva. What's the Ritva saying? What's his point here?
The way Noah and I read it was that Shomer Sachar is responsible for being there, as in he has a he has a duty to be there and be doing the activity of watching, even if the degree of Shmira that he's producing isn't necessarily even any better. that's kind of a separate question. As in, he only has to do Kizunatri Inchi at the end of the day. However, he is responsible for being there at every moment. And if once he abandons his post, that's going to be a reason to hold him chayef for, because this other factor of just him not doing his job.
Okay, good. I want to distinguish right now between like just the main the distinction and the explanation for the distinction that you're giving. So let's just focus on the distinction right now. I think that's exactly right. The Ritva takes this from the Ramban, and the move is to distinguish between the requirement of the Shomer to be physically present and actively surveilling the item, to be with the item, and what measures the Shomer can take absent his presence to exempt himself from liability. And the difference between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar, according to the Ritva here, let me silence this. The difference between them is that a Shomer Chinam could exempt himself by setting certain precautions for the chayfetz. He could click the car closed. He could put it in a garage. He could put a club on it. He could just put the money in a safe. All of those things are sufficient for a Shomer Chinam, as long as it's null b'fanei karoy. But a Shomer Sachar is going to have to be physically present with the item in order to exempt himself from liability. Okay? That's a really interesting view that we're going to see what comes out of the Ramban's base medrash. Now, we'll look at this in the Ramban, but I think this is also solves one of the problems that we've been confronted with, which is in what role is Gneva Vaveda playing in the liability of a Shomer Sachar? Like, what does it mean that, what's different about the Shomer Sachar's liability for Gneva Vaveda? So how do you think this helps for that? Right? The problem that we saw until now is, well, if Gneva Vaveda is just a standard of Shmira, then it sounds like he's really chayef for Pshia, right? When he breaches that standard of Shmira, it's a kind of Pshia. Yes, he has a higher standard of Shmira than a Shomer Chinam, but the thing that makes him liable is Pshia. Or if you go in the other direction, then you kind of have to go for like a strict liability conception of Gneva Aveda, which is not inherently problematic, but it does blur the boundaries between why are some onsen pater and not others. So how do you think this Ritva helps us? Anybody think this Ritva helps us?
It seems like they're both, we have to dive deeper to see what the difference between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar is, but it seems like they're both Pshia, that even for Shomer Sachar, that it's irrespective of the, it's Pshia, but not necessarily Pshia in the standard of care that you took, but it's Pshia and you had a duty to, I like the Zahara's form, like you had a duty to be present, and even if the standard of care you produced was Choma Shel Barzel, the failure of you to be on the premises is a form of Pshia.
I'm not sure. Do you think that your failure to be on the premise is to be present is a form of Pshia? Or do you think that Pshia is defined by the Na'al Bifanea Kiroi? That's what determines Pshia, right? Gneva Vaveda introduces the separate criterion of being present, right? So it's like they're talking about two separate things. You could get out of Pshia by taking non-physically present precautions. Put the club on, lock it up, put it in a garage. That gets you out of the Poshea standard. That's what Pshia is about. Gneva Vaveda is supposed to introduce this separate requirement of the Shomer being present. I think that's the Chiddush of the Ritva here, no?
That's not exactly like just like the case requirement that we saw earlier, because we said that unless you go the weird route of defining Gneva Vaveda as a type of loss to the object that occurred while you were present. Like, because if you were present, if you put up a chomer shabar, if you were present and you did seemingly a not super high bar of natri kidenatri inchi, and then it was stolen, you're putter for the ritva. So like to define your presence there as like to define your presence versus non-presence as determining like a case law like move seems, but like the cases are the same other than your presence.
Well, that's the point. So the point is that Pshia, so the Pshia standard is about taking the right kinds of precautions, and the Gneva Veda standard is about a totally different kind of din. It's about the surveillance presence of the shomer, right, and being with the item. That I think that's the chiddush here. Adin, you have a problem with that? You don't like that?
Yeah, just the idea that like, but so you're then saying that in terms of that there's a higher. I'm trying to think. So you're saying that it seems like Chomesh El Barzel produces a greater prevention of theft than the standard Natri Kidenatri Inchi.
Well, I'm not sure about that at all, because so remember, you also, I think you, a Shomer Sacha would also need to take the proper precautions. Right, he would have to lock it up in the right way, et cetera, et cetera.
No, that's like, I assume that's what Chomesh El Barzel means, that like it's right. Seemingly otherwise impenetrable.
Otherwise he'd be chayav for Pshia, right? But the point is that those are not sufficient to exempt him because of the Gneva Veda standard, which makes him have to be physically present. So, you know, just distinguish between, like Pshia is about the Shmita, the Heftza, and Gneva Veda is about the Gavra being Shomer. I think that's the move of the Ramban here.
Yeah, I hear that. I think I was thinking more that like it's that it obviously it's kind of redefining Pshia a little bit, but that like you had a like if you're like you're we can take it like the Poel-ish route that like you're it's your job to be there, and irrespective of the Shmira that you produce, a failure to be there is Poshea the liability that you assume.
Maybe, but at least you get the point is you could see how the Gneva Veda thing is, it's not just raising the level of Shmira, right? It's not just that you're liable for more things. The Gneva Veda standard is specifically related to the requirement of the surveillance and presence of the Shomer. And so it's talking about
so I think
kind of responsibility than the Pshia standard is talking about.
Yeah, I think I'm mostly just motivated like that like my reading of Chomesh El Barzel seems to be like to borrow Tosa language, like it's ones gamor. It's like I locked it in a vault, like great, like greater. No, you don't think so? Like
I disagree because you know we all know. For example, I could lock everything that I need up in a safe in my house, right? And I could lock my house up the Chomesh El Barzel. But when I go on vacation for 2 weeks to Italy and my house is left unattended, that even that Chomesh El Barzel is a target, right? It's like a...
I hear.
But
I've,
if I have somebody house sitting, right, that's different standards. So I can click my car closed every night, but being in the car unlocked is, you know, much... It's a different kind of Shmira than just taking the Chomesh El Barzel precaution.
I hear that.
Does this strike anybody as plausible that like the personal involvement of the shomer is the Ramban? It's unclear. We'll get to the Ramban. It's unclear precisely whether he thinks like it's physical incapacitation or whether you really need. Anyway, it doesn't matter for now. But does anybody? I find it highly implausible that the physical presence of the Shomer might be a nebbishy Jewish guy. He might actually be more careful on his part to hire like some hulking goons to guard this thing. I don't quite understand.
Okay. Well, yeah. Nothing in the Ramban precluded that yet, right? I mean, it's an interesting question whether the Shomer could subcontract.
Well, the Ramban... is a physical presence guy.
Well, maybe you could have a shliach be there, like you know, as a camera surveillance system.
So arguably, that's a new shomer. I mean, there are cases where, I mean, the Gemara in Amavke does discuss these cases of like transferable shmira, but I don't. Those are transferable shmira. I don't know whether it discusses cases where you hire somebody to execute your shmira. But the Ramban seems to place it. But Ben Kach, the Ramban seems to believe that like your physical presence thing is decisive, and I don't see the now he might believe that I'll say he might believe that because he thinks that your physical incapacitation, whether through listed mizuyim or through some like illness for different reasons, that's why I sent my email about justifications and excuses, is a p'tur for a shomer sachar. And so the way he could think that, like, in order to count as physically incapacitated in a way that your incapacitation would be a liability exemption, you have to be physically there, because otherwise, like, your incapacitation is it just seems like you took yourself out of the shmira situation and then were physically incapacitated and shouldn't receive the benefits of that. It's of a sort. But that to one side, I don't see why the you can say what I just said. What I just said is a good defense of the Ramban, but the Ramban doesn't say it. And if the Ramban doesn't say it, and because the Ramban doesn't say it, my thinking is he's using physical presence as like a proxy for care taken. And that just strikes me as prima facie implausible.
Interesting. I'm not sure. I don't quite agree that it's just a proxy for care taken. I think
the Ramban. The first thing that I said is better.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Ramban's language on Sadi Gimel. So the Ramban here, notice, is commenting on the Mishnah. The Ramban says, what's the Gneva Veda standard, right? What does this add? So he says, what it adds is that Ila Kirali and Hitzmina Mea Amos Tachas Akarka doesn't exempt a Shomer Sachar. What Gneva Veda adds is that Kol Zman She'iniach Pikadon Ve'eno Yoshev Eslo Mishamro He's Chayev. That's like the chiddush of Gneva Veda, the physical presence requirement, right? The physical surveillance requirement. Now, the Ramban here notes, well, how do you make sense of Rabba then? Rabba's view that if you go into town, when all the shepherds go into town, that's a reason to hold you pater, right? I, the shomer, is not present there. So the Ramban kind of acknowledges that Rabba would hold you pater. Rabba acknowledges that you're pater. And it's only what's the reason for it? Like, why, if you require the physical presence of the shomer, should the fact that other people are all lemasa be a reason to exempt the shomer sachar? So what's the Ramban's answer to that? He doesn't really flush it out. But what do you think the answer is for the Ramban? Right? I mean, once Gneva Veda requires a shomer sachar to be present, how do you explain all lemasa be'inna da'ili inchi?
Presumably because they step into your role.
Yeah. Who steps into your role?
Like the other people. They become like your shliach of sorts.
Well, I think in the Ol Idna B'Aili Inchi means everybody goes into town, including
So I'm saying at those times, because it's like you have all these people and this is like the accustomed time to do it, so like they take up like your role as being like the personal shomer.
But you're not subcontracting the shmir to anybody else in that case.
I think the idea is there's no chiv shmir at all.
Is he just tied to the, like, this is his... most, this is maybe a better interpretation of Natri Kid Natri Inchi, like you just gotta do the standard thing. And if the standard thing is that everyone goes to the pizza store at 12 to get lunch, then like that's what's, I can't be required to not do that because I'm only held to, by the Gemara we know you're only held to like the normal thing you do.
So look what the Ramban here says. I think this is a mix, look what the Ritva says, and I think explicating the Ramban's position, this is where we came right in saying, and what Cole's saying, Kivan deveina degano aili inchi. Eno nasa alav shomer. Velo kibel alav shmira aliva deraba. So this is here he's trying to say this to address a slightly different question. The Ramban has this idea also. But the move here is to say that you're not considered to be a shomer at all with respect to those times. Everybody see that?
Like everyone gets a lunch break or whatever.
Exactly. So you're not a shomer during the lunch break. You're only a shomer during the times that everyone's expected to be watching it. Now, I think what you get from this distinction is something really, really important, something really helpful. And that is the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel, the Gemara's discussion there about Natri Kedinatri Inchi, that is addressing a conceptually distinct question from the Gemara and the Mishnah on Membeds. How so? In two ways. The Mishnah on Membeis is asking, given that you're a shomer, what's the standard of shmira required of you to not be posheya or to pata yourself? So that's the legal question. That's the conceptual question addressed by the Mishnah on Membeis. So as a shomer, what's the requisite standard of shmira required of you? Now, a corollary of that, or maybe this is a second point about the Gemara Membeis, is that we're interested in the shmira protecting the item. Just what precautions, what measures are safekeeping the thing? That's all the Mishnah on Membeis. The Gemara and Sadi Gimel, according to the Ramban and the Ritva, is dealing with a different set of questions. Conceptually, it's interested in under what conditions are you considered to be a shomer? So, olamasa ba beina da aili inchi, you're not a shomer at that moment, right? So we're trying to figure out for what purposes are you considered to be a shomer? At what times are you a shomer? Oh, you're still considered to be a shomer there, and you could be found liable as a shomer, right? So that's a conceptually different type of question than the Membeis question. Moreover, while the Mishnah on Membeis is talking about the precautions of the chefta, like ni'ila bifaneha, choma shel barzel, etc., the Gemara on Sadi Gimel is taught, and the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel is asking about the poel physical presence of the shomer questions, right? Like when we talk about his presence, what types of standards are we interested in? What standard is he held to? Does everybody see that? I think that's what you get from the chiluk of the Ramban and the Ritva. Yeah, I think that's enough to make this general point. Anybody have thoughts on this? I would say, I want to just maybe add a little bit to this to motivate this chiluk further. It's interesting that like the Gemara on Sadi Gimel, you know, the Mishnayos are all in the context of Poelim. And Shomrim kind of gets dragged in, Agav, Umanim, right? And those types of things. So it might be reasonable to see that more as like a Shmira Sagavra question, a Poel question, which I think might motivate the reading of the Ramban and the Ritva to see this about what job, what like physical thing is he supposed to be doing, rather than like the Membeis questions, which is about what standard of protection needs to be secured for the item. Okay, thoughts on this distinction? What do you guys think? Is it obvious or?
I really like it with the caveat of, so are we saying that within this camp that those on your lunch break do the chiyuvim of appropriate, like, locking choma, whatever, do those persist? You could, like, so we could say that my gavra chiyuv, like, I'm not a shomer right now, but if the conclusion is that if my lunch break starts at 12, so at 11:15 and whatever, I'm guarding your bike, and I can mamash leave it out in the open from 12 to 1, which is the standard lunch break, I can leave it out in the open, unguarded, off the lock, whatever, with a big sign, and I'm putter for that.
That sounds like then, Shia.
Maybe there's no such thing as Shia for me right now because I'm not contracted.
Rambam on what is this? Chiris Hay Bays, whatever it is. No, that's Chiris Hay Bays. That's I'm thinking of Toin
Vinyan.
Yeah, exactly. You
could say Poshek and Mazik, or I think you could say a different idea, which is when the Ramban says Lo Nasa Olav Shomer, he's like thinking in Sadi Gimel terms about the Chobas Agavra of Shmira of Shomer Safar, which doesn't bear on the Shmira Sachefza questions.
Yeah, I think you have to say that. Otherwise, the entire concept of a Shomer Safar makes no sense. Like, why? Like, what? So if I hire someone to be my shomer from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., I just know that there's a 1 hour window in which, like, he's not like it's totally free for all, and I'm like I have to hire a secondary guy to cover that. Like, it's an impossible setup, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that would be plausible at all, right? So I think it makes sense to limit the Ramban's discussion of Nasel of shomer to this like specific shomer sachar characteristic. I think that would make them
up. Yeah, like you still have to make sure it's locked up before you go.
I think that's right.
Okay, yeah.
So I mean, that's a huge chiddush in my view. I think it's a huge chiddush, and it sheds so much light on how to distinguish the category of Gneva Aveda and how to distinguish between Rabba and Rav Chista's discussion on Sadi Gimel from the discussion on Membeis. So Zolt, do you have a hand?
Yeah, like two comments or questions. First is, I guess, like a while ago when you framed Tadin, like made the difference between like the Hikipur Choma versus like the, you know, like if you leave, go on vacation and your house is a Fort Knox, it's not the same as like leaving the babysitter or the house watcher. Like, is it only about like the raised level of Shmira? My impression was that like the argument was not so much necessarily that there's like a higher Shmira involved, like Fort Knox might be safer empty than like your random house sitter, but that there's like some type of like personal obligation when you're hiring a shomer sachar that you're imposing like a personal like hitchayvus on an individual that can't be replaced or can't be can't be ignored or neglected.
Maybe I don't think we should rule out the possibility that, you know, that's just like a formal feature of shomer sachar that he's got to be there in person, but you know, I do think it's reasonable that would correlate to a certain expectation of Shmira that comes along with the physical presence of the Shomer.
Yeah, I'm just like hesitant to think that that's like, I think the case of like the Choma is like Choma Shabarzal, it's hard to say in that case that they're appealing to like, oh, like Fort Knox is really less safe than like the random house sitter you hired for like $10.
Well, I think the reason why Fort Knox is safe is because there are people who surveil it and keep it safe, right? I mean, like, without that, like the locks don't do anything, right? Vaharaya, and like even in like Ocean's 11, like the way they got into the safe was by like tricking the showroom, right? I mean, you got.
I don't watch movies. What's Ocean's 11? Okay, the first part was a lie, but I don't know what Ocean's 11 is.
It literally had like the three most famous, two of the most famous actors in the world in it when it came out.
Okay, what's the, okay, whatever.
The heist movie with George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
You could ask some of your friends in the Base Medrash there, Cole. I'm sure pick any random guy in the Base Medrash there and they could tell you that.
All right, Moshe's here. I'll give
you a pick ring. Two famous in movies, they claim you don't watch movies.
Yeah.
They're too famous to claim to make that claim.
Right. Like Vahara, how did Cole even know that it's talking about a movie? Nobody said the movie, right? Clearly he knew that it was a movie, right? It's the busted. It's like Cole's unmuting himself. He's unsure if he wants to say something. Okay. So I want to take now a closer look at.
Wait, I have like a question.
Go ahead, Zil.
A question. I mean, I guess it could be true for the other Shita, but I think this is more true specifically for the Ramban, like Shita. When we talk about Zela and the Veda, it's like solely as like a proxy for certain categories, I guess, of what care we care, what standard of Shmira we're talking about.
How does that relate to for the Ramban, you're saying?
Yeah, and then like Neva Veda really just means like a chiyuv of like being present.
Yeah.
Right? So like, how does that relate then to like the actual case of Geneva and Aveda? Like, is a Shomer Sachar who was present but lost the item, is he now putter, or is he like, how does that, like, how does the actual case of Geneva and Aveda relate?
Yeah, I think the point is that if Shomer Sachar was present and let's say exercising like the due caution or whatever, and the thing got lost from him, that would be putter. That would be considered to be an ones. So
it's entirely a proxy for the terms are Gneva and Aveda are entirely just a proxy for this concept, and they have no actual meaning.
I don't know.
Literal meaning.
It has no meaning separate from the proxy serving function.
Okay.
Right? So notice you have three views now on Gneva Aveda. You have the Riz view in Tosfos Bava Kamma. Gneva Aveda is like it's a description of states of affairs that make that for which the Shomer is liable, regardless of whether they're ones or not. That's the Riz view. Tosos in Bava Metzia, as described by Ramban and Rabbi Eger, it's a proxy for Shmira Meula, right? It's a proxy for locking it up in a more safe area, bidela sheichol lamu b'fnei ruach sheinu mitzuya, and for the Ramban, it's a proxy for the required presence of the shomer in executing shmirah that way. You see that, Yoni? That's right. It took me a while to like realize that that's what's going on here in the Ramban. Everybody good with this analysis? Does it make sense? Did everybody realize this on their own? Yeah, is this kind of just stating the obvious here? Who thinks this is stating the obvious? Raise your hand. Zacharia, was taking off your glasses a hand raise, or was that just like in between? So tell me, Zacharia.
No, Itamar, you didn't just state the obvious.
Okay. Zacharia, you agree with Cole?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
What do you mean you're not sure?
I haven't been following so closely. Yeah.
Itamar, it's right. Difficult enough to understand what you say. Now we have to have intuitions about whether it's obvious.
Right. I guess that's not. It's not fair. Okay.
I try only to have second order knowledge, not you know.
Yeah. Anybody want to take a stab? Just to explain this to Zacharia quickly. Don't want him to miss out. Volunteer to explain it to Zacharia. Cole, go for it. We lost Cole. Cole, you want to take a stab at it or no?
You know he's frozen because he's been smiling for too long.
I know. You don't get a smile from him for that long. Okay, so, I mean, Zacharia, I think just the Chiddush of the Ramban here is to introduce this Chefza Gavra distinction to capture the difference between what's unique about the Shomer Sachar's Shmira. And what's unique about the Shomer Sachar Shmira is the Chiv of Gneva Aveda. So the Ramban's move is to solve all these problems between the Sugyas by positing this Chiv of physical presence of the Shomer Sachar. And he further says that stems from the special Mechayiv of Gneva Aveda for Shomer Sachars. That's the Ramban's move.
That makes sense.
I'm sorry. I bad Wi-Fi. I'm
back. Yeah. Welcome back.
We're actually, Noah and I were talking about within Rabba, how Rabba responds to the claim that, oh, the reason I'm paying you is that you do an extra shmira. Perhaps Rabba's response would be that, no, the reason I'm paying you is not necessarily to raise the bar of shmira, but to just to be more present. Spend time here to be Yoshi of the Mishamer. And
I don't know what the difference is between those two things.
As the Ritzvo was explaining within Chief as Rabba before, is in when you're there, you're not high up on more cases, but you do have to be there.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly the point of the Ramban, right? The point of the Ramban is that Sachar is introducing something new in virtue of requiring the presence of the Shomer.
Yeah. Right?
But notice Zecharia, from the Gemara, I'm curious about the way you're reading the Gemara of Rav Chista and Rav Huna. They don't seem to be addressing the question of what's different, what makes a Shomer Sachar different from a Shomer Chinam, right? They could say, we acknowledge the Ramban's point, but once somebody's being paid, the standard of Shemira that they're held to also gets elevated, because the standard that people execute when they're not being paid needn't be the standard that dictates people when they are being paid. Right? So the machlokas in Rabba and Rav Huna and Rav Chista is not about whether you accept this doctrine of the Ramban, but whether does being paid schar do two things or just one thing? For Rabba, it does one thing, right? It requires the physical presence of the Shomer. For Rav Huna and Rav Chista, it says, oh, it also means that the standard of care is set a little higher. You see that, Sarah?
Yeah, I think that's similar to how we read it.
Let me just also say, for the Ramban, I think Rabba, Rav Chista and Rav Huna are talking about the standard of care vis-a-vis the Shomer's physical presence, right? So it's about al be'idna de'aylienshi, al be'idna de'lo aylienshi, right? Am I wrong about that? Meaning, I think the Ramban would say that Rabba is talking about, the Rav Chista and Rav Huna are talking about what standard of presence is the Shomer held to, right? Which is a Tzadi Gimel issue, not a Membez issue. Okay, but we don't need to stick on this point for too long. Okay, so let's look at the long Ramban on Membez. Any questions on this? Any comments on this? I think when you sit on it, you realize how amazing this Kiddush of the Ramban is. It really solves a lot of problems here. No one's moved by the Kiddush of the Ramban. Okay. Yakir, you must be moved by the Chiddush of the Ramban.
I'll be honest, I missed most of the beginning of Chabura, and I hadn't had a chance to see the Ramban yet, so I assume I will be moved.
There you go. When you spend the morning at Uriel's appointment.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy birthday to him, right?
Yep.
Right. I remember when was his bris? Right. I remember going to Arena, I guess.
Yeah. Rosh Chodesh Adar.
Rosh Chodesh Adar. There you go. Can't believe we didn't get COVID at the bris, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like not so unlikely that someone did, probably, in hindsight.
It's crazy. Yeah. It was right before everything shut down. I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Ramban on Membez, he cites Tosos, which you already saw. The Ramban's crucial move is to say, here, my Geneva Vaveda. Okay. I mean, so Zecharia, why don't you walk us through this first paragraph in the Ramban here? So I want to make some diukim in the language quickly. So
So Ikeda Amri, referencing Tosfos, the Bekarka Yishlem Shmira afil b'shomar safar, that burying them would path to the Shomar Safar. Ikeda Amri, Shomer Safar, the Olam Inam Shmira, Achihe Yoshi Bishamir. Others say you have to act the guard. Kermithogi, Bahamas Nisan to Tanan.
And that's Ramban's view, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Lolam Inam Shmira, Achihe Yoshi Bishamir. So the physical presence thing.
So I
think don't gloss this part. I think is really important. What's the Ramban saying? But kamifli b'ha mas nisin. So go for it.
Shemachinam nishbat lekol nafsesach avar sofer mershama aseveda v'hasagneva. My gneva v'aveda ishalo na'al karaoi ishalo na'al karaoi af shemachinam chayev bo d'pshiyahi. So what is precisely these cases of Gnei Veda? If it's a case we didn't lock it properly, even a Shemachinam would be Chayav because that's just Shia. Ela b'shenal karoi, v'yengva o'sha'avda, v'yav b'shehu be'ones Chayav ma'achar shalo hayayoji b'mshamim. So rather, you locked it up properly, and nevertheless it got stolen or lost, and even though that's really an ones, you'd be Chayav since you were not sitting and guarding.
Okay. So... No, what's the Ramban doing here? I think the Ramban in this paragraph is like the recon tone says, right? So you gotta look at every line in the Ramban very carefully. The way each word is measured b'mita of a mishkal of a minyan. So I think what the Ramban is doing here is he's saying that this machlokas turns on just how you characterize gneva veda. Like, what does the Mishnah mean? So, like, Zolti, this is your issue. Like, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that a Shomer suffers higher from Gneva Veda, right? And then he asks our Pshia question, right? If like, you have to reach some sort of standard of care, if it's Shalo Nal Kirai, that's Pshia Mamish, right? So it's got to be something else. And the Ramban's point is, oh, it's this thing. It means Shalo HaYoshev Mishamer. Now the Bali Atosos, as the Bali Hadin, right, the Bar Plukta here, they read the line in the Mishnah as saying, oh, Ruach Mitzuya, Ruach Sheina Mitzuya. That's the difference. So the Ramban himself tells us that the legal significance here is like, what is the standard of Gneva Aveda? What liability rules does Gneva Aveda pick out? Okay. Zol, is this an old hand or a new hand?
Old hand.
Okay. So the Ramban goes on. He reiterates his position, of course, right? He says, Shmir Mu'ula for Shomer Safar means Shehe Yoshev Mushamer. Be'emes, La'olam Shomer Safar Lokal Yashmiraso Ache Yoshev Mushamer. V'ne'enach Mimenu Belisim Mizuyin V'chayotzebo. So the only time a Shomer Safar could argue Ptur Anos, I think somebody asked this before, is if he's there physically present and it's taken away from him while he's there. The moment he's not present, he's going to be liable under the theory of liability for Gneva Veda. That's the move in this line. Now, the Ramban thinks that not only does he solve this issue with what's going on Sadi Gimel versus Membez and how to characterize Gneva Veda, he thinks that he solved the problem of Tosos. So what was Tosos' problem? Anybody want to remind us? What was Tosos worried about in all these sugyas? Evan, do you remember Tosos? Oh, Kol Yeva.
Tosos thinks that a Shomer, it sounds like Tosis doesn't want to hold a Shomer Sachar Chayev if he was under duress.
Yeah. Tosos thinks that it's implausible to think that a Shomer Sachar Chayev owns him. Right? Yet the Gemara seems to say in a few places that a Shomer Sachar's... So Tosos thinks it's implausible to hold a Shomer Sachar Chayev for Onsen of Geneva. Yet the Gemara in a few places implies that you'll be chayav for every case of Geneva except for list in Mizuyan. Correct, Cole?
That was my understanding, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the Ramban thinks that he's solved that problem. So what's his answer? So he says...
Physical incapacitation.
Basically. Yeah, so one second. So his first point is that he says Tosos's theory... that a Shomer Sachar is actually Pater for Onsen Bigneva is implausible because that's inconsistent with the Gemara about Toin Taina's Ganav, which implies that you are Chayiv for Gneva Bones. So he rejects Tosfos.
Tosfos, that's just Tosfos' Havamina, right? Where Tosfos ends up is not so different from the Ramban.
Yeah, I guess Tosfos and Bava Metzia is not clear, but a lot of the Rishonim, like the Ramban included, take Tosfos as having concluded that you're
is that right? They take him as having concluded. I mean, that's like a view. He gives that view the old college try, but I'm not sure he's okay, fine. That's the view he would have liked to have had, but the facts make it too hard for him.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Yeah. You see the Ramban imputes this view as to Tosfos' conclusion, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger also accepts it as Tosfos' conclusion.
The Rashba's footnotes in the Mosada Rav Kook say, like, Tosfos, like, Daita Tosfos Nota, which is code for, like, useful view for somebody else to bounce a view off of.
Right. And if you saw, like, the Rashba, when they quote Tosfos, they say, like, Varisi betosfos, like, Shemigam gimin bezeh, you know, like, Tosfos is, like, can't get it straight over here. They're not sure what their position is. But here they're imputing this maskana to Tosfos. So the Ramban says he thinks that Tosfos is wrong. You'll have a geneva ba'onas is any time the shomer is not there, the shomer is going to be chayiv, okay? But then he wants to carve out an exception, right? So he wants to carve out an exception where he's sympathetic to Tosfos's possession. So, Cole, why don't you retake us from here? Mi utema?
Stop moving the blow up the font. Okay, whatever, fine. Umi hutema hu im kafatz alafole uru ones acher begufo umachmas ones acher nigna umachmas ones acher nigna. Sorry, I read your bolding as punctuation. Hegadal chayvo im kema tinu shomer sacher chayv onsim. Yeah. And then later he actually has
so one second. Before you get to the later thing, let's just work out this phrase. So Cole, the Ramban here wants to say that there are some cases of ones holy and ones shena that exempt the shomer sachar from not being present. My question to you is, what's the basis for that exemption? And do you see two different lines of reasoning, two different rationales in this part of the Ramban, or is there one point being made here?
I don't see two different rationales. I see the Ramban doing what any legal theorist has to do, which is to take the case the Gemara adduces and derive some kind of rule. So what the Ramban was uncomfortable with is that, well, why are we here? We're here because of this Gemara about Kefel and the fact that we seem not to be able to we seem to be committed to the view that a shomer sachar is chayev for standard cases of theft.
For geneva bonus.
For geneva, a shomer sachar is chayev for standard cases of theft. I don't want to deal with the word ones right now because I think it obscures more than it illuminates. I understand that's the word that the Gemara uses, but
right.
I hope
right. So right. So the Ramban's point is that the Ramban's point is that the shomer sachar is going to be liable for any geneva when he's not present, right?
I actually think that but then
in this paragraph
present for and physically incapacitated. Yeah.
Okay. So now in this paragraph, he wants to carve out another exception, right? Well, there are cases of geneva for which the shomer sachar
which is this patur. physical incapacitation thing, which makes sense because the idea of listening to mizuyim is that like they're big and strong.
Why is the physical incapacitation exception a reasonable exception? What's the Ramban's argument?
I guess the idea is that you're disabled from executing your obligations as a shomer. Whereas in standard cases of Geneva, even though there were thieves, in theory, you could have stopped them if you'd only been doing your job. There was nothing external. There was no duress that was externally. I don't want to say externally. You were not. We could have expected you in the state that you were intrinsically to stop these thieves. But if an illness seizes you, or the thieves seize you and restrain you, then that's not something that we should be expecting you to do.
But what's the legal principle here? So I actually think there are two.
You've done all you can. I think the legal principle here is that you've done all you can.
Okay, I think that's the second point Darmbon makes. I think that's a valid interpretation of this line. I think before this line,
what do you have?
Doesn't the first line just suggest that it's just like it has to be onus? It's almost like he like puts his hands up and it's like you just can't define anything but outside onus when he says, just like definitionally, this case has to be defined as onus. And therefore, like, there's just like no way to say that he's chayav. Like, forgetting like, even any justification of his whole description about yachol lishmor.
I don't think it has to be defined as ones. Yoni, why do you think he's defining it as ones? Just read this line carefully. I think there's it's actually a pretty clever point that Darmbon's making. I think kind of obvious. Yeah, I think what Darmbon's saying here is that we know he's chayav for Gneva, he's pater from Omsen. If there's an onus to his goof, that's the cause of the Gneva, then the onus precedes the Gneva, and he falls under an exemption of onus because that's the reason why the Gneva occurred, right? So it's like a preemptive onus, which explains the harm to the eye.
Wait, this is important. That bold... Aleph Chet Reish. You read that as Acher or Achar?
Chronologically, Achar.
I think it's Acher.
Oh, sorry. I agree that it's Acher. Sorry, I agree it's Acher. But look, let me read this carefully. Look. Miutema. Im kafat alav choli o ira ones Acher begufo umachmas ones Acher nignav. So look, some ones happens to his guf, right? And because of that other onus that happened to his guf, it gets stolen. He can't be chayiv because that's a case of onus. Lamazed domet, look at this. This is the point. Lamazed domet, shebo olav listim v'nishba v'achar kach bagana v'ganva. So it's like a case of shuya, which we know is onsin, and then afterwards it's stolen. And the Ramban says, right, that here it's clear, it's chronological. So I think the Ramban's move at this stage is to talk about, like, it's a preemptive onus that gives the Shomer an exemption through the Ptur Onsin rule. You don't even get to Gneva Aveda because this case is just characterized as an onus case, not a Gneva case. Since it's an onus that prevents him from being able to execute his shmira. You guys see that? Cole, do you see that reading of the Ramban?
I see perfect unity between the sickness and the list of Mizuyu. Do you? I see these as being the same thing. Applications of the same rule.
Well, I agree with that, but what's the same rule? So is
physical incapacitation. That's the rule.
What's the physical incapacitation rule?
I don't know how to be more specific. So tell me what you're looking for.
So
I think I know what physical incapacitation looks like.
What's the legal principle?
Are you asking whether he has whether this is a hafka mishem shomer or just a ptur from liability? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Are you right? You're asking how do we read the what is implied legally by the phrase eino yachol lishmor lahatzil?
More than that, I'm interested in whether is the legal principle here a case. A legal principle of onus that if there's a preemptive onus, that sets the groundwork for a Gneva to occur, the event falls under a description of onus rather than a description of Gneva. That's, I think, what you get from the first
part. I think the Ramban wants to avoid... Here's the case of Gneva that the Ramban would say the Shomer Sachar is chayav for. Falling asleep. Taking an unauthorized coffee break. And then a thief comes and steals. So there you weren't physically incapacitated. It was totally voluntary. Your intrinsic state's fine. You could have rendered your duties if you'd only not taken the unauthorized coffee break. So, I have nothing to say beyond that, except the question of, I have to go in 2 minutes because of Myriv, except for the question of whether this is a, what I said a minute, is this a hafkam, it didn't shomer, or is it a patur mitashlun?
Right, so I think at this stage in the Ramban, it's clearly a patur tashlun, just based on...
I'm actually not sure, but... Okay, so I'm actually like, is Eino Yachol Lishmor Lahatzil? Is there an implied and therefore, I mean, Eino Yachol means can't. So.
Well, that's why it's onus, right? It's an onus because the onus blocks you from being able to do Shmira.
Right. So do you still have a shit? Okay, whatever.
Later in the Ramban, he makes the Hafkam the Shomer point, I think.
Okay.
Right, so here the Ramban, thinks that his
move... Here, it's just an excuse. I agree. Okay, fine.
Exactly. It falls under a description of Onas, since it's Onas that explains why you couldn't be present. Now, and that's this chronological argument.
It is...
Lemaze Dome Shabba Walablistim Vinashva the Acharkach Bagana Viganva. Now,
I think it's a solid reading.
Good. Now, I think the Ramban has this breakthrough in the next lines, where
I also have to go.
Okay, bye.
Somebody text me about the breakthrough. Bye.
Yeah. So, the Ramban now is not sure how he's going to address all the rayas that Toein Tainas Ganav Shomer Sachar is patur. So he has two claims in his arsenal. One of them is to say that the Gemara, when it said that Toen Tainas Gana Bipikadon of a Shomer Sachar is a singleton, it just meant of Shchiach cases, it's a singleton, right? But since Ones Cholia Guf is Lo Shchiach, the Gemara didn't even entertain these type of cases, which I think we could all agree. I think Zacharia, that's what you were saying, right? It's like an unpersuasive argument.
Yeah, dafka for the lav dafka for me.
Right, that's what you meant in the WhatsApp thing. Yeah, I googled that phrase. Apparently, everyone's using it now. Ted Cruz. It's about the COVID rules. For COVID rules for you, but not for me. I don't know. Apparently, it's very popular accusation these days. I thought you meant it as shmira for the chayfets, but not shmira involving the bialim. See, I thought you were...
No, it was much more ad hominem than that.
Right, I understand. So the Ramban kind of recognizes this isn't such a great argument against Tosos, because, it just boils down to what shchiach and whether the Gemara was interested in shchiach as a factor. And here's the Ramban's breakthrough. So... Zachariah, why don't you read this line for us?
The Evshar Shem Tan Tainos Elu Venimsa Shu Ganfo and a Mashan Shulme Kefa. The Kiman Shu Toin and Nasti Begufi Veloyachuti Lishmor Kitoin Lo Nas Sisi Lacha Shomer La Osa Shah Shenegava. Shane Mashan Shulme Kefa Shomatin Shulme Kefa El Beshomer Shu Chai Lishmor Vitan Shamarti Kroili or Kroilo. Aval zeh became a shenanos niftar min a shmira lagamri. That's our theme.
So what's the Ramban's breakthrough move here?
Breakthrough move is once you have an onus beguf, sleep or sickness, you become not a shomer over it. And therefore, when you make this claim, it won't lead to kefa.
Yeah. So the Ramban's move is to say that a disabled shomer who's not able to execute Shmira Begavra is not simply excused from liability, but he is released from being a shomer, right? He is, as Cole said, it's a hafgas shame shomer, right? He loses his status of a shomer. And you can see the Ramban says very tentatively, right? He says, oh, efshar and tavrezet sarachian. And the practical chiddush that he wants to say is that this would potter you from toin tainus gadna bepikadon, right? I assume that means that he would be, does this mean that he would be putter from a shvua, or does this mean that even if he took a false shvua, it wouldn't generate tashlumei kefal?
I thought the latter, as in he swears, oh, pretty much I wasn't responsible over the chavitz at this time, and then they find out that he stole it. He just pays karen or whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what do you make of the Ramban's move? He wants to say that we don't have to worry about all the toin tainus gadna bepikadon sugyas because a shomer shenenas begufo loses his status of a shomer. Now I'm interested in just, A, what you think of the chiddush per se, but also do you think this chiddush of the Ramban relates to the first chiddush of the Ramban? So the first chiddush of the Ramban is that the chiddush of Geneva Vaveda is the chiyuv shmira begufo. And now the Ramban saying, when you're disabled from providing shmira begufo, that's like mafia, the shame shomer from you, the shame shomer sachar from you. You have thoughts on, are these just two separate chidushim? Do they somehow suggest Zoltieva?
I think you definitely could. I mean, I don't think you have to, but I think you definitely could read them together, especially if you're like really, if like you really like push up the Ramban's like svara and like take it to, I guess, like a conceptual like extreme in some senses. Then like what he's arguing is that shmira, especially for a shomer sachar, is by definition like shmira begufo, and anything less than shmira begufo is just not shmira, at least with regard to shomer sachar. And so, yes, like the corollary of that argument is that therefore, like to be pater for gneva aveda, you have to the chayv gneva aveda means shmira begufo, and to be if you can't be shomer begufo, could some ones, so then you're not actually a shomer at all. So
yeah, you're not a shomer sachar, right? You're not a shomer sachar, right?
Well, you're not a shomer, at least with regard to shomer sachar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you like argue he's like a different type of shomer. Sounds like a little weird, but.
Or at least you have, you have your chayav for pshia as a shomer chinam, or probably something like that. So let's see. Pretty interesting suggestion here. So Ramban is machalik between. When are you a shomer who breached his responsibilities? Or when are you a shomer? Sorry, when are you a shomer? Claiming an excuse versus when are you claiming that you're not a shomer at all? Right. That's the distinction that the Ramban here is drawing to try to resolve the stira from toin tainus gadna bepikadon sugyas. Sakhar, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I only noticed this in like my third read of the Ritva, but the Ritva also references this when he's explaining, when you're the reason Rabba thinks you're Pater, when Al Kada Aili Inchi, is because you just not made a Shomer on that time. And yeah, at the end, he says, and obviously, D Lo, if you don't hold to this Svara, if not, Lidzan Nami Mashkan La Vachola. We also have this problem, as in we who pass like Rav Chisda, we would have this problem by chola, as in I read that as if the shomer is sick, why is he pater? It must be that he's just not a shomer for those times.
I mean, you think the Ritva is making the same point as the Ramban here?
Yeah, as in he's using it. It's like totally agav, but which is really strange because like Al Kadaili Inchi or like let's say he goes to sleep, it's like part of the original Stam contract is you're given a lunch break. Is part of the Stam contract also like, if you like go into a coma, you're released from liability. Is that just assumed? These sort of like, I mean, like, yeah, it's kind of like also with all like the COVID stuff, like is like, oh, assuming no crazy worldwide disaster takes place, this is enforced. Like, is that always really assumed? Like people don't really think about that.
I would, as someone who has been very distracted by work, and so I'm a little nervous to opine on the actual textual parts, but I would just say I think a helpful like thing to keep in mind when you read Sigis is the fact that halacha is unique in that in some sense ritual and civil law inform each other, right? This is like the type of conception of ones that like we find all the time in terms of like iser v'heter, right? Like or chiyuvim, where you're potter from doing something because like you're considered emancipated from the chiyuv because you're an ones, right? Like davening or something like that. So I don't think it's such a wild thing to kind of like work that into our like understanding of how contracts governed by halacha work.
Yeah, so you're saying, Shua, that it's not so crazy, this idea that under certain descriptions, either times of day or circumstances of holy, the shame shomer is paka.
I mean, yeah, and think about those things, right? Those are like the classic examples of like being potter for mitzvos, right? Those are the like the classic examples of unsin that are potter for mitzvos. And I think Tosfos, like the Tosfos who talks about Shana, is quoted by the this is like going back to the raid days, but I'm fairly certain that Tosfos gets brought into like all the questions about, you know, like the classic Yeshivish raid, Tashlumin by Havdalah, like the Taz and do you know what I'm talking about?
He's in the honest Shana discussion.
I'm fairly certain like that yeah, gets like implanted into questions of like I don't know how to describe the category, like ritual, you know, halachic questions. But I think that there's like, I think that there's a conception of how these types of contracts work that fits well with this, right? Where it's like, here is this like, especially by like Shomer Aveda, but generally, like here is this like halachically conceived of contractual obligation that like is either imposed or that you enter into. But that is like, it's not like it's all our technical agreement. It's like it's built out of the halacha surrounding it.
Yeah, like I hear that.
Surrounding it.
I hear that. I would just say one thing I would say to push back on that, Shua, is if you look at this formulation in the Ritva, and I thought this is what Zachariah was going to take us to. So, I mean, Zachariah's point is to say it's times of day is more plausible. And this came up earlier in the Chabura, earlier like last week. Times of day is more reasonable to say not a shomer between 12 and 1 than to say like, oh, when I have a cough or when I'm incapacitated. Right, Zachariah? But look at this line, Shua, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts here. He says, Kivan anu o aili inshi. Eino nasa.
That it's like lichten his das.
Yeah, yeah. Velo kibel alav shmira, which is interesting.
Yeah, but it doesn't say dilo kibel alav shmira, right?
Yeah.
If you were reading it like you, I would want it to say dekivan divina diganu aili inshi eino nasa alav shomer dilo kibel alav shmira. In that situation,
it's like formally
effect. This is an effect, not a cause, right? Like he's not a shomer, so he's not the kabel shmira.
So you're saying it's an effect, or you're saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think
or effect is the wrong way to say it. It's yeah, go for it.
Well, you could say one way. You could say this.
I'll read it again. Let me read it. I'll read it again. In those times, he's not nasa alav shomer, right? Vilo kibel alav shmira, alibadraba, enemashalim, alav kefa, right? And so he's not in nasa alav shomer, he doesn't become a shomer, and he's not mekabel shmira, right? Like a, it's like a, and it's just like a way of reiterating the concept, right? But it's not that it, the reason he's not a shomer is because he was not in the Kabbal Shmira.
I hear that. So you're basically, right. You're basically saying the Ritz is making two separate points. Like by the Torah's lights, he's not a shomer, and he didn't accept Shmira specifically. You know, it wasn't the Kabbal for these.
Yeah, yeah. He could, I guess, he asna, right? Like.
Yeah, right.
You could have said, I'm a Kabbal to Shomer, even when I'm, you know, Achron Echora V'kech Balayla.
Right, right. It's interesting. And maybe, yeah, I guess I'm reading it more like as the Dalid, right? It's like almost like assuming that that's the standard.
You're timing out. It's like a Dr. Grach Gersa issue. You're just going to decide that the, right. The letters are wrong because it doesn't work with what you... Yeah.
Agreed.
Valid. It's an approach.
Okay, so I want to make a few other points in this Ramban year because it's so good. First off, the Ramban dug up a Yushalmi that I think like really supports his view. Remember, so here's the Yushalmi. Second. So Ramban dug up this Yushalmi here. Umatzasi b'Yushalmi mefurash. And I'll just read the Yushalmi inside because here's the Yushalmi on page 27. Rabbi Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Nemar Shmira b'shomer Chinam. This is in Shavuos Ches Aleph. V'Nemar Shmira b'shomer Sachar. V'lo Damya Shmira shenemar b'shomer Chinam. L'Shmira shenemar b'shomer Sachar. So you can't compare the two Shmiras. Shmira shenemar b'shomer Chinam. Kivan sheshimer kol Sarcho Pater. Shmira shenemar b'shomer Sachar. Ein Misharin Oso El Begufo. So the Ramban reads this to mean that a Shomer Chinam could discharge his chiyuv, his Shmira liability, simply by locking the thing up. That's Shimer Kol Tzarcho. You lock the thing up, you put it in a safe, you put the club on the car, you click the fob locked. Those are all sufficient Shmiras for Shomer Chinam. Shmiras for Shomer Tzarcho, Ein Mishar Ein Oso Ela Begufo. Meaning you have to see, like, would his physical presence have made a difference. That's like the gold standard for a Shomer Safar. Lefikach Rowan im osa im haya roi l'shmira. Lefikach Rowan osa im haya. Lefikach Rowan osa. Im haya roi l'shmira pater. V'ilo chayiv. Ein omer milu haya sham. Ilu haya acher sham. Yachal ahatzil. I'll forget about this part actually. I want to hold off on this part. We'll talk about that in the Gemara.
Doesn't the second part though suggest that the Ramban reading is wrong?
Well, the way the Ramban reads this part is Ein Mishar Ein Oso El Begufo, meaning we see whether if he was there, would
you know? I understand his argument, but I'm saying the conclusion in Lefikach suggests that when it says Begufo, what it really means to suggest is that Begufo means specifically him, not to exclude other people, not him meaning that. Exclude where he's not present.
Figa Choronos em Hayarai Lashmira Pater. The Ilo Chayev. Ein Omrim Ilu Haya Acher Sham Yachala Hatzil. So we don't say was somebody else there with him, he would have been able to be Matzil.
Well, not someone with him, just someone instead. Like the argument is that would you be suspect that like, oh, if someone else was there who was like, you know, a more macho guy who had like had real training, so maybe then it wouldn't have been stolen. So we say, no, we care about this particular person. This person was given like the Chiyuv Shmira and not like, you know,
yeah,
not some Navy SEAL guy.
Maybe. I want to look more at that line Yushalmi and the Nosei Kalim there. The Ramban has a line in the Yushalmi that we don't have, which like supports his reading. I don't know if anybody noticed that. The Ramban said, here, Matasi b'Yushalmi, Mefurish, blah, blah, blah. Shmira shenemar b'shomer chinam, kiven sheshimar kol tzarcho pater, that we have. Shmira shenemar b'shomer sachar, afilu hikifua choma shel barzel. Ein ro noso kilu hushamar, im hayach alahatzi chayv im la pater. See, the Ramban, instead of like Shmir Begufo, the Ramban has this line about, oh, the Choma Shel Barzel is insufficient. What really matters is Im Haya Yocha Lahatzil Chayiv Im La Pater. Would his presence have made a difference in preventing the thing from occurring? So the Ramban says, oh, that shows you that the Shomer Sachar standard is all about the physical presence of the Shomer. And then he points out that Ravacha Mishabcha, that's the Shiltos, has a similar view. He says, if you're a Shomer Sachar, even if you put it in a secure place, you have to sit by it to watch it day and night. Then you're going to be pater. So yeah, the Ramban actually has pretty good support from the Shiltos that it's about the physical presence of the Shomer that's crucial for determining liability. All right, everyone feel like they have traction on the main theory of the Ramban over here? Okay, so I want us to think a little more of what's the Ramban's Chiddush. Let's just talk about the Rashba's objection to the Ramban. I want to make one more diak in a Ritva. And then I want us to move to this sugya of Ibayil Chalabure Chadechadza, the case we saw in the Gemara. Tosas and Sadi Gimel points out that there seems to be a different standard in the Zikin for what constitutes Pshia in a similar type of case. So I want to know, is the standard of Pshia for Nezikin different from the standard of Pshia for Shomrim? Okay, and that's an important exchange here between Tosas on Tzadi Gimel and the Ramban on Tzadi Gimel. All right, so let's take a look at that discussion. And then after that, we'll look at this distinction that our Gemara had between a Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar about Haila Lahakdim b'maklos, b'roim u'maklos. What expenses are you supposed to spend to fend off this type of onus? All right, everyone, should we meet on Thursday on Tanis Esther? What's everyone's preference?
I'm around, I think.
Yeah.
Might be a different background, but still be here.
Where are you going to be, Evan?
By the in-laws.
Great. All right, it'll be scheduled for Tanis Esther?
Right.
Great. Sounds good. All right, shkayach, everybody. I'll see you on Thursday. Take care.